In the latest Rutherford Weekly that I've written and other people helped with it, we talked about, and of course, at least three of you, well, four if you count Rick out there, have read it, and so you know what is involved in it. There is the idea that I delved into a little bit, and it's the question of why people disbelieve. Why do people disbelieve? Why don't they believe in the scriptures, in the Bible? Why don't they believe in God? And it kind of fits fairly well along with the class as well. Why do people not believe? And I came up with three reasons for that. But I don't want to delve too much into all of them because we don't have time to look at all of them. The reasons, if you are curious, for those of you who haven't read it or if you don't remember, the reasons were indifference. Some people are just indifferent. They don't care. They don't care about it, and so they go off and do their own lives, do their own thing, and they just don't care. Another is they have emotional reasons for not obeying, for not believing in God, for not doing what, for not believing in Him, for not doing His will. Emotionally, they're like, well, especially those who are, like we talked about in the class, those who are dealing with suffering. Those who are dealing with suffering will often, if they don't have, if their faith isn't strong to begin with, they'll have they'll be angry at God for what He has done. Why, God? Why have You done this to me? Why am I going through this? And so they might have an emotional reason for not believing in God. And there may be other reasons too. They don't want to listen to the guy because they were rude to him. The guy trying to tell him about God, or at least they perceived him to be rude, or not to be rude to people. Another reason I want to look at more in depth is they find it to be foolish. They find it to be foolish. They listen and they pay it special heed, but they end up thinking that it's foolish. We find that in Acts chapter 17. We looked at that a little bit in our class. Acts chapter 17 with the philosophers in Athens. They thought, they heard about the resurrection from the dead, and they thought, man, this guy's out of his mind. He's out of his mind. I'm not going to... They mocked, it said. And then it says, and some believed. Some believed. We know at least four people did, based on some of the names that are mentioned later. But the majority of people mocked. They didn't want to hear anything about a God that rose from the dead. They didn't want to hear about Jesus. And it's my understanding, whenever I study that and then read 1 Corinthians, because right after that, he goes, Paul goes from Athens, and eventually he ends up in Corinth a little while later. I guess he goes to Thessalonica and then Berea, and then he goes to Corinth. No. He goes to Thessalonica, Berea, then Athens, then Corinth. And so he goes down there, and he's in Corinth in Acts chapter 18. And later he writes in 1 Corinthians this letter. He's in Ephesus, and he's writing this letter to the Corinthians. And he says some really interesting things here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that make me think that he's thinking of those philosophers there in Acts chapter 17. And he says in verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since In the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, that's not to imply that God is foolish or weak in any way, but even if he did have any kind of weakness or foolishness about him, it is far greater than anything we could ever produce. And if we're wiser than the Stoics and the Epicureans that they were talking to in Athens, far greater than any winner of the Nobel Prize, far greater than any professor or pope or anything of that nature, far stronger than the strongest people that exist on earth today, far greater than anything. He says it pleases God. In verse 20, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Yeah, the message of Christ is foolish to some. It's foolish to those who are perishing. They have no regard for it. And in fact, that's one of the downsides or perceived downsides of being a Christian. People think that we're ridiculous, that we're foolish. Oh, you think Jesus rose from the dead? That's foolish. You think looking at Genesis, you think the world was created in 6 days? Oh, that's foolish. Oh, you think this, that, or the other? Oh, that's foolish. Yeah, it kind of is. If we look at things through man's wisdom. But if we look at things through God's wisdom, we recognize that he has a plan. He has a reason for all these things to have happened. To create things in the way he did, to send his son in the way he did. To the Jews, it was a stumbling block. They couldn't believe in a crucified Messiah. The message of the cross was foolishness to them. To the Greeks, it was foolishness because it doesn't make sense to them. Well, what does Isaiah say? His ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts higher than our thoughts. The world will laugh. The world will mock. The world will point their finger and say, ha, 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 silly Christian. Yeah, I guess. We've got to own it because we are Christians. We do believe in this book. And we have really good reasons for it, as we talked about today. I know those who are accountable today have in this room have obeyed the gospel of Christ, and I'm thankful for that. And I pray that we all will continue in that faith, that we all will follow after him and recognize that we might suffer in some way. People might point at us and laugh and say, oh, you really believe that? Yeah. Yeah. Because to them it's foolishness. Because there's no hope for them. Unless they begin to believe as well. And I pray that they all do, just as the Lord wishes that all be saved. You find in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, he wishes that, or he wants all to believe and come to the knowledge of the truth, all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Man, I want that for everybody too. But the truth of the matter is, not everybody will be. There will be those who are perishing, those who think that our way of life is foolish, that our Lord is foolish. We got to be able to power through that, to recognize that it is foolish, But if I'm going to be foolish, I'm going to be foolish in Christ. If I'm going to be silly, I'm going to be silly and going to heaven. I'd rather be silly and go into heaven than smart and go into hell. If you have a need this evening, if you want to, if you need to obey the gospel and put the Lord on in baptism and obey Him, I encourage you to do that this evening, please.